disconnected then.
No, we're not disconnected. We're here. And we're live. And we're glad to be back. This is the Don and Wynn Show.
Can you turn your volume up, Don?
Okay. How's that?
That's better.
Excellent.
So you have a sophisticated new device.
We do. We have some new toys here, and they're working fabulously.
Mm-hmm. So my name is Wynn Free. We have Don Newsom as my co-host. And Don and I have been fighting for the last hour.
Hour and 10 minutes.
Hour and 10 minutes. Why are we fighting, Don? Let's tell them all.
Let's tell them all. Okay.
Let's hang out laundry out there.
Okay. Well, the real reason Wynn and I have been in a wonderful little chit chat is mainly because, and he is correct on this, we've switched our time slot up to 8 p.m. and then it used to be 6 p.m. Pacific, and then I moved it up to 8, and then we had some shows running over, and then we had a 9 o'clock show run through the 8 o'clock, so we're starting it at 9, and I've had callers calling me, emails being sent to me about this, and that they're very disappointed in the fact that the show has changed its times, so Wynn and I discussed that, and we realized we have to go back to 6 p.m. on Saturdays Pacific, and so we've agreed to do that, and I wanted to apologize. My weekly apology begins today. I wanted to apologize to the listeners, and we will be back regularly every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific with the Don and Wynn Show. And thank you for bearing with us during this transition. We, as you're all well aware, we've had some major changes to our network and to the lineup and to the shows. And, of course, we had a major move with personnel, offices, building the new studio, bringing in the equipment, getting all the lines in, the phones, the internet, the newest equipment. It's been quite a journey, but we're really happy to be back.
So tell us about your room. Where is all your equipment? How's it situated in the rest of your house?
Well, we have a three-story house in Paradise, California. And if you can imagine a square house with three stories, each the same size, the entire downstairs is basically all studio.
Mm-hmm.
I have a desk that looks out onto a beautiful deck, which oversees a canyon. And we have sliding glass, which we're looking outside now, although it's dark. And my twin brother, Douglas, who works with me, and folks, he's doing all the audio archives. So we're going to have the audio archives up soon. Within hopefully several days, we'll start sticking them up as fast as we can for all the shows. And it'll come quite regularly now. But he sits off to my left, facing the windows as well. And we have equipment along all the walls, and office equipment, and stereo equipment, and computer equipment, and lines. We got more lines, of course, now than we ever did. So 50% places lines, computer lines, electrical lines, mic lines, you name it.
Well, that sounds very interesting. Why are we doing this show, Don?
We're doing this show, Wynn, because we love our audience, and...
Oh, wait, when we started the show, we didn't have an audience.
Well, we loved all one of them.
Your mother.
Yep. You know, funny, because you should mention that. She phoned up. She was actually, indeed, one of the callers that was wondering, where's your show? Why isn't it airing? And when my mother called and said that, I knew I was in trouble because, I'd been getting so many calls and emails on this, but then my mother had to call, and I thought, oh, no, okay, the synchronicity is too much. I love my mother. She's the dearest lady, and, the time I'm spending doing this is...
I've grown to love your mother. I feel like an adopted son.
Well, she, you know, when you are. Mm. In fact, Wynn looks like me, folks. Just imagine me a little shorter, a little stockier, bigger feet, and a longer nose. You got Wynn.
Particularly the longer nose. Wait a second. I'm not a little shorter.
Well, okay, a little taller.
A little taller.
A little taller, but a little smaller.
Yeah.
Oh, is that our first caller? Let's find out.
What is going on, Don?
Yes, there will, later on.
Don has disappeared. So I guess the ball is in my court. For those of you that are tuning in for the first time, we've been off for, I guess, about 4 weeks now.
Yes, we have.
Because Don was moving from Texas to California. And the way the show started, and this is for those that are tuning in for the first time, is that... Don had read my book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and then he heard about some of my personal experiences where I was having communications on an ongoing basis with what identified themselves as these group souls that are kind of guides and helpers for mankind. And he invited me to tell the story, which I did, and I dictated into a tape recorder, and it's somewhere in the files there, that very first time I was on. Isn't that up there as an archive?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And then Don invited me, and Don is the founder of BBS and Blog In Service, and he invited me to do a weekly show. And I said, well, what do I want to do a weekly show for? That sounds like... I'm not very good at commitments. I mean, as soon as you take on a responsibility, as soon as I do, I start to feel...
Responsible.
Responsible. So I want to be responsible to this higher purpose that I've taken on. And but then Don and I started having these very creative conversations every week.
Which I miss, I must say.
I don't have time for them anymore. So I said, why don't we just record our conversations and we'll put it up on... the air, and that became the beginning of the Don and Wynn show. And then I have some friends that also have this funny thing, which I call interdimensional communication, and we've invited some of them on. At different times, we've had a live, what's called channeling on the show. And I believe that with all that's going on in the world, there's a hope that exists that is not in the realm of fixing the world. And it has to do with these interdimensional connections. And they've explained to me and how it works. And I wanted to, it was my goal or my desire to want to share this understanding with others so that they could not just have a belief, but could realize that interdimensional connection was available to them also, and how to have that connection, how to invoke it so that you can have the experience that you're not alone. And most people don't have that experience, and there is a way to have it. And the way to have it is first to want to have it, then to figure out people that are having it and figure out why they're having it. Then to have an idea of how it might feel, and then have the intention, the persistence, and the vision, and it will happen. Because, believe it or not, right now, there's a multitude of energies on the other side, what we call the other side, we could also say other dimensions, other timelines, around everyone who's listening. Right at this moment, they are around you, and they want to connect with you. They want to be supportive of you. They want you to know that they're there, whether you call them angels or group souls or God. Sometimes you don't have to even have the right name. If your intent is to connect, you can have an experience. And when you do, you start to expand yourself, because in fact, those entities, those beings in other dimensions, are actually part of you in oneness. We're all one. And so it's in oneness that we blend and connect with those energies. And since I have had the unusual opportunity to have endless conversations in very verbal, intelligent English with what I believe to be the highest connections possible, it becomes a great responsibility on my part to want to share how that works so that other people can also look for and experience that. And some of those people that have been paying attention to what we're doing have actually had those kinds of experiences. And it's not something like where something just pops in and you say, "Hi, Don, this is God. What can we do for you now?"
Now you're talking perfectly. Your levels are perfect. You're so quiet most of the time. I love it when you speak up.
Well, you got me angry, Don. So it's actually very subtle the way this works most of the time. It's subtle. And it's sometimes you can just be there and say, "Are you there?" And look, and you'll notice that suddenly there's a twinkle in the room. And you'll say to yourself, "Is there really a twinkle in the room? Or am I making that up?" And then you go on and you distract yourself and go somewhere else, and the twinkle disappears. And then you come back and say, "Okay, is anybody paying attention? Is there anybody interdimensionally that can come into my space?" Boom, there's that twinkle again. You look around the room, and it's a little fuzzy. And there's something going on. Do you know what I'm talking about, Don?
Absolutely. In fact, you're right on the button.
And then somebody walks in the room. They walk near you, and they feel it too. And they say, "What's going on?" And suddenly, you are involved in interdimensional communication. Now, it's not a voice in your head. It's not verbal. It's not intelligent at that point. But that is definitely real. And you can experiment with it and realize that you are extended into your room and you have energies of beings in other dimensions moving into your space. And you'll feel the energy shift.
Yeah, well, I think you're right on it. It comes from two things. One, you ask, and two, the desire and the will or the intent.
Mm-hmm.
And those two working hand in hand, you know, exactly. The energy starts to shift and things start to develop.
Now, one of the things about having this experience is to keep it quiet. Don't run around and tell everybody. You know, this is something that, as soon as you start to use it in a self-serving way, they back off.
Some of the energies will back off. Some of them may hit you even stronger, the wrong ones.
Well, the negative ones,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing, because there's a thing of like, if you ask for this kind of company, let's call it company, if you ask for it, you've got to ask for it in a pure way. Not in a, say, everyone's got free will. So if somebody wants to do magic stars on the ground and, you know, invoke, you know, I won't say demonic forces, but you could call them that, or forces of service to self, forces that say, "Okay, we'll grant your wish, just, you know, now you're obligated to us," you know. That's possible, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about those high energies that want to help us evolve and that we don't even know they're there and we don't even know the significance of it. You know, if you're living in the world and you don't realize that you continue, you don't realize that you are eternal. And if you think that this physical realm is all there is, then there is no spiritual. There's go click on to Howard Stern's. Turn us off.
Yeah. Well, the thing is,
and I love Howard Stern's, by the way.
You got to keep an open mind. I mean, it's about having an open mind and not making absolutes in your life, but living the truth as it unfolds.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean putting structure, rigidity, and doctrine behind the way you live your life. It's really allowing your life to unfold as the Creator unfolds through throughout creation.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is fleeting. I mean, it's something that you can adhere to 1 second and then allow a greater understanding to come to second. So, you know, and you remember you were saying the company, whatever you, I often hear, and it's very true, the company you seek, you will find.
Mm-hmm.
And that works the same way with the higher dimensions. From my own experiences, when you seek a certain, energy, you do get it. And if you're in a very negative state, you're going to get a negative energy complement. Because the universe provides that for you. Whatever you want, you'll get. And
well,
when,
you know what? I would say not only whatever you want, you get. Whatever you are, you get.
Well, yeah, exactly.
In other words, sometimes people can want to not be what they are. I've gone through a long periods of my life wanting to be other than I was, not being able to escape, say, what I would call my shadow. And my shadow was overshadowing
you
and blocking me. And no matter what I did, it would attract its own reflection.
Sure, you still have to deal with that.
Back to itself. So it's not so easy to just want something. There's for some people it is. Some people are just very evolved and they don't have big shadows, and it's not such a big thing for them to just suddenly have a higher experience. But others, like myself, had big shadows. And I had to work through my shadow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Is Doug in the background still?
You know, my brother is in the background. In fact, we can get him on the air with us.
Well, actually, I was threatening, you know, part of what I did before I started writing.
Here, I'll set him up while you do a little talking.
Now, listen.
And we can bring...
Don't you leave, Don.
Oh, I'm not going anywhere.
If you leave, you're fired.
Okay.
You got to be on with us.
Okay.
Okay?
I'll bring my twin brother on. In fact, it'd be nice to have him with us.
Well, tell him to... okay.
You mean tell him to put something on?
Is he naked?
Not quite.
Okay.
I'll be right back.
All right. Actually, the reason I'm inviting Doug on is because I happened to discover some of Doug's poems, which were posted in one of the blogging forums, where I saw that Don had put up something new for poetry and artistic expression. And, of course, I was writing poems and songs long before I ever, how can I say, dreamed of what I'm doing now, talking to energies on the other side. And I realized that when I was writing my songs and poems, part of me was actually connecting to higher realms at that point. And I would write things that were far beyond where my conscious mind was at. And I would say it was kind of a channeling. I don't know if channeling is the right word. I don't even know if channeling is the right word for channeling, because we're talking about blending with other dimensions, and suddenly you start to think and talk and experience things from a multidimensional perspective. Don, are you on? Doug, are you on? I guess it's just me. So, in any case, I was writing poems for a long time, and the poems were far greater than I was, far more in depth, seeing things from a deeper place. And I saw that Doug was writing poems like that, and I wanted him to come on and share some of his poems. But let's see. I was going to read a couple poems because, see, Don is screwing me up. He has disappeared and has left me by myself. Not used to it. Now, see, I'm codependent, I suddenly realize. Don, where are you? Okay. Well, hang on, guys. I'm just going to open up to some poems. This was a poem that was called, let's see. Where is it? Worthiness. And, wait a second. And it is not opening. I'm trying to open it on my computer. Just a moment. Okay. Got it. And I read it because I think this is an issue that many people go through. And certainly, having had the experiences I've had of communicating with interdimensional sources, and it seems wholesome on one hand, and on the other hand, I've got this whole...
Okay, Wynn?
Yes.
I'm here, and we have Doug, but it's a... we're going to have to just wait 1 second and see if his levels work. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Douglas, are you ready? Go ahead, Doug.
Hey, Doug?
Yeah.
Can we hear him?
Can you hear me?
Doug?
Yeah.
No.
Let's try that again. Okay, Doug, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
This is in stereo. I can hear myself.
That's you unique.
And I can hear himself hearing me.
So, Doug, did you bring some poems with you?
I probably could bring a poem or two out, yeah.
Well, you know what? I just was leading up to reading a poem of mine.
Yeah.
So I'll break the ice. And I was talking about how writing poems is a bit... has something similar to channeling to it, for me, anyway. Although I would have never used those terms when I was writing, I realized that I am seeing things from a higher dimension, and I'm putting the words down, and my process in writing would be, I would write a sentence, and then I'd write another sentence, and I didn't know what it was about until it was finished. And I would look at it and say, man, how did I write that? That's really far out. The way that flows, the way that's put together.
That seems to be always the case when it comes to channeling poetry. You get into a state of mind. It's like a piece of art. When you're finished, you go, oh, my goodness, it was in there all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, there that happens to
so,
me.
So I was going to, since we have talked oftentimes about my personal experience and my experience has been having these awesome communications with these group souls that, as I understand it, they've proven it to me, are responsible for guiding mankind and inspiring mankind. And then I say, why me? And it's interesting because some years ago I wrote a poem called Worthiness. And so I'll read that. Worthiness, self-worth. I'm an expert on these. I wish I could say I've mastered them, but more often, they've mastered me. As my subconscious level of lack would cause outward situations to manifest, which matched the inner. The problem, how does one learn to deserve more? I contemplate the reasons for my unworthiness, and I reflect on my oppressed childhood. Misunderstood, rejected, rejecting myself. I see how I shrank from life into safer places inside myself. And now I'm trying to unshrink myself and love you because you are worthy. And to have you, I must experience in my heart of hearts that I deserve you.
Wow, I remember when you wrote that for me.
You know, Wynn, that's very good. When I was in university, I can remember I had a teacher, and he loved Robert Frost. And I loved poetry. But I'd sit back and I'd write a poem in about, take me 5 minutes. And I can remember at the end, I was really young for university. My brother and I, we skipped a year and a half of school, and we went to university at a very young age. So here I was in university, and this teacher was very, very disciplined. And his approach to poetry was very disciplined. As a matter of fact, he thought a good poem would take a year, and you had to rework it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the year, of course, I wrote about 15 poems, very young, 16 years old, writing all these poems. And I sent them to him, and he never gave me a response. And even to this day, now, 20 years later, I write poems the same way. It takes just a few minutes. And but one of the lessons I learned in this class that always left an impression on me is that poetry, you know, he'd ask us to go and read, a good work, maybe a Keats work or a Shakespearean work, and then write a whole discourse on what it meant to us and why that poet thought that certain sentence or that certain line in that certain passage in that certain way. And literally you had to know everything about the poet just to know anything about the poem.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, something was lost in that. Something was lost because we were deriving a meaning that was simply led, you know, to the meaning that this instructor wanted us to grasp. And really, poetry, like any prose, like any work of art, like even the Bible in many ways, is written for each reader.
Mm-hmm.
It's semantics. We're never going to think the same way, so because of that,
it's going to be different for every person.
Different for every reader. So
yeah, I mean, you know what? When something is, I learned this when I was young, and I was listening to Bob Dylan songs, because I'd listened to the song one year, and then a year later, I'd listen to it again, and there was it sounded completely different.
You got something completely different from it, yeah.
And I would learn more. And you know what? It's like that with the Ra channelings in the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce book. I'll read it, and every time I read it, there's something that pops out of me that wasn't there before.
Creativity is meant to be that way, just like a painting.
Let me guess, Wynn.
What?
I know that I was never this way. But I assume, because I know my brother was, that you're the same. You were in school writing love poems to girls, and any time you found a girl that touched your heart, you wrote her 10, 15 different poems about her with her name in it. Was that you, Wynn?
You know what? I'm glad you brought that up. That was one of my other lifetimes.
Was it?
This lifetime, when I was in school, I used to cut the classes and just cram the day before finals.
Oh, we did that, yeah.
Because I was so bored.
Mm.
In fact, in my high school yearbook, I didn't cut classes in my high school yearbook, there was the comment that said, when was the guy that Professor Cohen would throw erasers at to wake him up in history class, because I couldn't stay awake. It just seemed so boring.
Boring.
You know? But I did write a poem that was dedicated to my past life. And
Read it.
Let me see if I have it here. Actually, I got an award for this poem.
And the reason we're doing this to our audience, the reason we're subjecting them to this poetic abuse is because we have a new show that's going to be starting to air called, I don't know. I think it's going to be called the Cosmic Poet.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cosmic Poet will be on, I believe, in the evenings during one of the weekdays. And it's going to be a new show started with my brother. And he's going to hopefully bring on a lot of famous poets and poets from around the world. So that's really something we've been trying to put together here for a while, and now we finally are able to do it.
Maybe I can bring on my teacher if he's still alive.
Mm-hmm. So this particular... Doug, do you mind if I read this poem?
No, please. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm fascinated by your stuff.
Now, I wrote this poem a long, long time ago. So this relates to the comment Don made. And actually, I sent this poem into some website, and it's still up there. If you look for my name, it comes up as They gave it an award. They made up a title.
They made up an award and gave it to you.
They made up a title for the award just for this poem, and it was called "This Is the Congress Gives Itself a Pay Raise Award." And so you'll understand why they made that up. It's called a self-serving poem. Doug, you can use this poem, by the way. You can tell somebody you wrote it. Okay?
Oh, I would never take credit for your brilliance.
No, I don't want the brilliance. I mean, it might work for you.
You don't want the brilliance. You know, and people can read these poems if they go to Authors Inkwell. There's several of them posted there, and I think, I don't
my
know.
My poems aren't posted there.
Well, you should post it there. You know, okay. That's why we developed Authors Inkwell for poems, prose, poetry of all forms.
So here we go. This is the Congress votes itself its own a pay raise.
Okay.
Awarded poem, okay? Women love poets. Who else could... Doug, don't laugh when I say this. Women love poets. Who else could turn a night of passion into immortalized verse?
Good.
He laughed. See that? I knew he would. Who else could express their femininity so eloquently, their desirability published for all the world to know? One good night of passion could actually turn into a lifelong advertisement in a woman's quest to find love and marriage. Not to the poet, of course. So, if the opportunity ever presents itself, never turn down the chance to sleep with a poet, and be sure you inspire him and make him very happy.
You know, I did write a few love poems when I was younger, but I always tried to be varying in the way I wrote it. I always changed my meter, my rhyme, my alliterations. And sometimes I'd take a poem, Shakespearean work, and I'd look at it and I'd go, I'm going to rewrite his poem, not use any of his words, the same meter, the same way, and see if I can't do a better job. And you learn a lot from that. If you take a person like Robert Frost's poem and you do your own rendition of it, you learn a lot. Mm-hmm. Here's one that really has no rhyme or reason, but it's called "I Am One Reason." I wrote this just about a month and a half ago. And it just rolled quickly off out of my fingers. I am the songs of infinite muses, of unfathomable richness, riches, and reaches in depth. Octavate the sounds, lingering, whispering within, one sweet union I beget. I am the melodies, the harmonies in ecstasy, a panoramic symphony of tone. Accelerated, amplify it in now time, sublime. Author poet to design. I am the composition, the sound part of will, the force of expression all around. Don't you hear me calling your name? I make the sound. You cannot forget. In that poem for me, I was looking at a way to say, what is sound? What does it mean? What is it? What's the relevance to me with the sound of writing? And the person that hears it. And I just kind of did it in a poetic way. For example, one time I wanted to write a little thing, what is poetry? Person said, how do you write these poems? And I thought, okay, well, let me consider this. So I went, considering words with sleepless unrest through form. A language and semantic scribe is lost in metered prose. And rhyme, alliteration, metaphoric art will not imbue expression or symbolic sculptured line. A poem born. Simple poems, but for me, they kind of reflect something in the moment that I was thinking about, and the first word or two may have not even meant anything to me until I got in right to the very end of the poem, and it just kind of came together. Now, there are other poems those two are examples of where you begin with an idea. Or a sentence or a thought comes into your mind and you just start writing about it. Other poems that I've had are a little bit more thoughtful in the way I approach them. I actually had some sort of a subject. I really wanted to get to some particular point, and they took me a little bit more time.
You know, Doug, I remember for you, Wynn, I've remembered more of my brother's poetry than even my own. And I could probably recite 20 of his poems just off by heart. I mean, I really enjoyed his poems. Mm-hmm. And I remember one he wrote called On a Snowy Winter's Day, and I want to read it to you because it's one of my favorites.
This was, Don, this, by the way, was
one of the,
written when I was 17 years old.
Right.
And this was for that particular teacher after I'd graduated the class.
Yeah.
And I wanted to show Robert Frost's rendition of a poem that I wrote, so to impress the teacher.
Yeah, and it's called On a Snowy Winter's Day.
Hey, Doug?
Yeah.
Was the teacher a cute woman?
Oh, the teacher was an old man.
But close.
But I was attracted to him.
He was human. I know the man whose woods are here. He's made his home in the village near. He'll not see me gazing round upon snowy woods so crisp and clear. My weathered mare now looks my way as if to question why we stay in a place so calm, so cold, so queer, where the night's so cold this winter's day. The only sounds the night bestows are the whimpering winds and the tingling snow. Then harness bells ring out a cry as the mare waits, impatient though. There's beauty here in these woods so deep, but should I stay, I'd surely sleep. So must I go before too long? One sheep, two sheep, three sheep. It's kind of, I think it's about a guy who dies.
Yeah.
And, he falls asleep and he just doesn't wake up. The beauty there just overcame him. And, I've never been much of a poet, but I did write three poems in my life. So you can know that I am not a poet, folks. I'm not my brother. I do not have the poetic skill. I've just never been imbued with the words. But I did write one called Forsaken. Because, as everybody knows, Footprints in the Sand is a very famous poem. And, it's a poem that, was up on a plaque in our house, probably in 50% of the houses across America. Who knows? I mean, it's a very famous poem. And it touched me. And so I wrote, I didn't understand it. And, just before college, I wrote a poem called Forsaken. And I wanted to take the poem Footprints in the Sand and give my rendition of being forsaken. So I wrote, I've lost my sight. It's cold out here. Is that you? The wind blows away a tear. I've lost my way. Help me. I'm scared. No, you won't be there. You never cared. Someone help me, protect me. I can't see. My body is freezing. Give me your hand. It's much colder now, and I can't stand. When I needed you the most, you were supposed to carry me across this land, but instead you blinded me. What footprint in the sand? I will die now, cold and alone. I don't need you now. I'm on my own, and if I go to hell, at least it won't be cold or ignored while I burn forever. Goodbye, Lord. And that was one of the three poems I ever wrote.
Well, that'll tell you a little bit something about the state of the mind of the poet when he was there, huh?
So now you know how quite demented I am.
Hey, you read that pretty well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what I would like to do? Instead of reading some of those chuckling works I wrote, I
want to hear one poem by Wynn. I remember this poem on the that we have a link to on the Don and Wynn Show page.
Oh, right.
And it's called... Is it the geek?
The meek?
The geek meek. Or something?
The meek.
Oh, okay, the meek. Jeez. Read that one. I love that poem.
You can't tell when he's winking at you, Wynn, but I can see it.
Uh-oh.
Can you read that poem?
Does that mean we have somebody
calling? We're not going to take it.
You're not?
No.
No.
Actually, I just opened myself up to read another poem.
Oh, okay.
I'll read that one before the night's over.
Excellent.
What do we have now? We have another 20 minutes, right? Did somebody pick up that line?
There goes the other one.
I bet all the poets out in the audience.
They're about to say, you guys suck.
They want us off the air.
Now, this is Doug is going to do a poetry show. And everyone that writes can call in Doug, and and read their poems, right, Doug?
Not only can they read their poems, they can read little short stories. I'd like to be, you know, if you have a creative endeavor that you...
Oh, no, folks.
We're really in trouble now.
We do like this. No, let's take a call. This should be fun. No?
No, not right now. I need to be in the proper frame of mind.
Yeah, it's just not working for him.
Well, why don't you lift those phones up so they don't ring?
You want to lift them all up? That's a duty.
Yeah. Well,
there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Are there?
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I'm kind of a temperamental poet reader. I hate to have phones ringing in the background.
Okay, well.
They don't add to the drama?
Just, if it rings again, no. Doug, just pick it up and hang it up, okay?
Don't you know of any poems with telephones in them or anything?
I actually do. I have a poem with, God, now you got me started. I got a poem with telephones in it, okay? It's called The Telephone Rings, but I'm not open to that darn poem now.
Well, read the one you're open
mm-hmm.
to.
Okay. This is called, you're going to like this one, I know it. Actually, I read this to a little Sufi group. And, you know, sometimes...
What's a Sufi group?
Well, when you create things, you don't realize how people are going to respond to it. I mean, to me, I look at it and I say, oh, well, it's done. And I read this to a group, and they absolutely flipped out for it. Okay?
Yep. Here they come again.
It's called The Journey of a Poem.
The Journey of a Poem. I like the name.
They're not just printed words. It's energy manifesting into words. It's all of creation, grouping into sentences, trying to make sense from nonsense, reaching your eyes, and from your eyes to your mind, and from your mind to your heart, and hopefully you will get it.
Interesting.
You will experience the energy and the creation which came before the words. So when we finally meet, we will know that we've met before, and we'll have a spontaneous understanding. And the journey of a poem will have come to an end, and the journey of a poet will have just begun.
Wow, I do like that one.
That is good.
That's an excellent poem.
Well, thank you.
You know, I've submitted about, let's see, half a dozen poems to the Poet Society, and knock on wood, I've won awards for them all. One actually was featured in a book on the front cover. I was really surprised, and I wouldn't mind just reading that. This is something that took me about 15 minutes, and it's actually a love poem. It's one of few that I would ever write.
Right, right.
But it's written because this lady who I was so in love with, I was so in love with her. She just, it was my first love. I was 27 years old. I was too young. And after 3 years, I just couldn't handle being in the relationship any longer because there was too many responsibilities. But let's just say that she wrote me a poem, and Shakespeare, everybody knows Shakespearean works. I mean, in many ways, he didn't really, women in a lot of Shakespearean sonnets are downtrodden to some degree. And I don't really know why that is, but to some degree it is. And she wrote me this poem that Shakespeare wrote, and I really wanted to make, and I was mad because I couldn't believe did she even read this thing? Did she know what she wrote? Or what Shakespeare wrote, so I wrote this in response. It's called Lest We Differ on Love, my response to Shakespeare. Lest we hit upon no mark, erred by self. Impediments can only eyes foresee. Love is ever elusive, translucent, shimmering, a distant roaming specter, unformed, if this be true. And no, 'tis not a mark, ever fixed, unalterable. It is life, richer for its infinite subtlety, stronger, that sees no tempest with eye alone, but heart, mind, and more. And time, though it be, needs no mention here, a watcher only, a keeper of the record, what will be, dated, known, remembered. I know love's worth, I know its totality, here I err not, for man has loved, the author disproved, and further,
Time, true its compass comes, does not bend. Love, our aging surgeon, well, bringer of hues, rosy lips and cheeks. Love has shown me this.
Hey, what was the last line?
Love hath shown me this.
Love.
It had a hath in it.
It had to have a hath in it.
Love hath shown me this.
Hath. Yeah, you know, you get all these strange words.
That's a little Shakespeare.
A little Shakespeare. I just threw one word that he might have used.
Add a little bit of hath in there and you're good.
You can have a lot of fun with this stuff. One time I was... You know, when you get rid, this is probably the funnest poem I've ever written. It's probably going to be the last one I read only because it's so crazy and you're probably all going to kill me, but it's called Crazed. Crazed within an altered state, a drug of drugs my mind does make, a shifting haze of endless dreams, burrows deep and changes things. No shape, no form is there to see, just madness what possesses me. What self is left, what is my name? Eludes me now again, again. It's rotting me, this blackened core, leeching, robbing, making sores. I try to call for help, but can't. Left paralyzed and drug entranced. Please, someone help. Just talk to me. I'm not the person that you see. Oh, God, can someone understand? Just look at me, how sick I am. Okay.
All right, that's a death poem.
Some of these poems were 17, written over 20 years ago, and I collect them. You know, though I've probably thrown a good majority of them away. I had to keep that one because it was one of those madness poems that
you write
when you're a young man.
You know the one that my favorite one of all yours, Doug, and I don't even know where it is anymore. It was it was the one about. In the very Mike Podemski and me. Mike Podemski and me.
Oh, I threw that away.
Or no. And there was that other one about lingering time. What was that? Lingering time.
Oh, that's one of my favorite poems.
And
right.
You don't.
Yes,
you have
I think I do. But let me just.
You know, Don.
Yeah. Now you've got me into it.
I got a feeling this is going to be your mother's favorite show.
This was what, let's see, I know which one you're thinking
of. What do you think? Hi, Oldie.
Boy, I don't even have it up here. I'm surprised. Hold on.
No, I don't see it.
Well, listen, I'll read one while
here it is.
About
it is.
You got it? Okay.
Laughing
here it is.
At the very end, lingering.
Yeah, I've got it. Let me just go here. I've got it. I love this one.
All right, we'll have them find. I hope the audience is having fun because
here you go, Don. Right.
You know, this is
there.
This is really fun for me.
Is this fun?
It is.
This is my favorite right there.
No, that's not it.
It's not.
No, it's something about lingering and here and after. Children's laughter
lingers
in your mind.
Yeah.
Hey, Don.
I remember.
Yeah.
Listen. Let's do something while Doug is looking.
All right.
Oh,
let's start.
I couldn't find it. I have so many guys. I just couldn't find it.
He's a guy who actually has time to write a million poems.
No, I haven't written a poem in months. So that was, you know. Come on, guys. I'm sitting here trying to put all your, what are those video files up or audio files?
What do they call that? An oxymoron. The working poet.
Okay.
You know, I'm surprised. Poetry, for example, the daily trials, even when Donald started writing, I never remember Don much enjoying the idea of writing prose or poetry or writing much of anything. And then he started writing the daily trials when he started blogging service. And I was like, that's not my brother. No way.
No,
he doesn't.
No, I
like
wrote
that.
Those. That was part of my opening. I wrote those when I started to get the odd experiences and they just came so fast. It was really strange. Then later on, I guess I got the knack for it, but now I've lost it again. So
you never lose it. You just got to get back into it.
All right, talk to me, Wynn.
Wynn, it's your turn.
It's my turn?
Okay, let's finish up.
It's your turn.
Well, actually
okay, I think it's about time. We love you, Wynn. You know you got a big hug coming from us both.
This is a historic poem. If it wasn't for this poem, we wouldn't be having this show right now.
All right, okay. Fire.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you why. This happened at a time that I was selling sunglasses at a street fair. And it was the end of the day, And I had got caught up in a rut for quite a few years where I had abandoned all my talents, and I just ended up doing swap meets and selling things. And it was at the end of the day of one of these events that I said to myself, if I have to spend the rest of my life doing this, I would rather die now. And so I went out and I bought a little notepad.
And wrote a poem.
And I wrote a poem and I said, my God, I can still write. And then I wrote another one. I said, I can still write. And then I said, okay, I'm just going to keep writing poems. What am I going to write poems about? I'll write poems about what I'm doing in my life right now. That's what I said to myself. So, of course, I was selling sunglasses, and the poem is called A Vendor's Bird's Eye View.
Oh.
Looking into the eyes of the multitude, the eyes as windows to the soul. Young eyes, old eyes, Spanish eyes, black eyes, Arabic eyes, Sephardic eyes, gay eyes, gang eyes, tired eyes, enthusiastic eyes, rock and roll eyes, jazz eyes, in love eyes, lonely eyes, angry eyes, happy eyes, bedroom eyes, kitchen eyes, hurt eyes, silly eyes, tense eyes, wise eyes, friendly eyes, impoverished eyes. The eyes have it. Always telling a story about the being looking through them. 100,000 eyes, 100,000 stories. All connected to one energy, step down into the physical world via the karmic path of the being. The eyes of the multitude, the eyes of God, looking back at me. P.S. Want to buy a pair of sunglasses?
You know, you just took me back to that movie, Forrest Gump. You remember that? I love that.
Of course I do, yeah. Did I remind you of Forrest there?
No, you reminded me of the guy that was talking about the shrimp.
Oh, well, I forget that.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny.
So, a vendor's bird's eye view.
That takes me to my closing poem. Hello to Goodbye. And time in between, to the outcrop's outer limits, to the hilltop's eyes within us, to our dreams. From strings to matter, to holes to life after, to beginning again to the end. Throughout universal revolutions, evolutions, eons, to our amen. Because of you I am. Uh-oh, somebody's shedding a tear here.
I like that one. Now, here's a poem that was a prophecy, okay?
All right.
It's called Shh. It's a prophetic poem. I wrote this prior to any of the kind of experiences you guys know that I've had. It's
Ben,
okay to talk.
You've never told me the story, Wim.
Yeah, I think you meant prophyletic.
Prophylactic?
I didn't say that.
Okay.
That's the person calling up to say, get him off the air.
Somebody just sent me a good thing about, who was it? They're changing, let's see if I can remember this, they're changing the symbol of our government from an eagle to a condom. And here's the reason. First of all, God. We're going to have to wait till next week because I can't remember, but it was very funny.
Try that.
Maybe if anyone knows that, call up quickly.
No, don't call. You know, I'm going to have a main button, not control panel, that when I want to turn off all the phones, I hit this button.
Okay.
We're going to make it easy.
Okay. It's okay to talk to God. In fact, every religion in the world promotes this kind of activity called prayer. But God forbid, if God talks to you, don't tell anyone. Because they'll probably call you crazy. They might lock you up, give you shock therapy, psychotherapy, or worse. History has proven over and over that it's much easier to recognize that someone has talked to God after they're dead. So if God happens to whisper in your ear, be sure and keep it secret, because even the best have gotten crucified after they told everyone God was talking to them.
That's good.
P.S. This poem is a total figment of my imagination. Don't believe a word of it.
Don't believe a word of it.
Well, you know, to our audience, for listening to this, that's unbelievable.
we can call it the Rambling Muses.
Is our audience still with us?
Yeah, I think they called out long ago.
They probably expected some wild channeling.
We were channeling. We were channeling the spirit of
within.
Yes.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Now, here's a very sexy poem.
All right. I love sexy poems.
I love sex. Sexy poems. quick, Doug, strike a poem.
This might be one I posted on your site. So here I was laying in bed at 2 a.m., thinking all those beautiful and wonderful and crazy thoughts. And I was confronted with the choice of trying to fall asleep or getting up like a stark, raving lunatic and firing up my old laptop and capturing the thoughts. As you can see, I did the latter. So with that introduction, I was looking at the dark ceiling and communing with your spirit, thinking about what should be normally unmentionable thoughts. No, not about sex, but communicating with you on a cellular level. No, not about tones. From the inside of your being out and knowing you are feeling that also on some level and maybe every level, because the energy bounced back to me as if it hit the perfect mirror for my soul, and part of you and part of me and part of creation were bonded together. No, it's not about possessing someone else's body for a moment. It's about accessing and feeling someone's love at any given moment. It's about releasing oneself from the confines of this earthly body and merging with the spirit of another being who has also expanded their reality beyond space and time. So in other words, to keep it simple, it's nice having you in my life.
I like that.
Very nice.
You know, for the folks who are listening, I just wanted to say we are starting a new show. It's going to air, and I'll get that time up right here now.
You'll probably change your mind if you make a decision now, Don.
Oh, no. No, it's going to be airing at 9 p.m. Pacific time on Thursdays, and it's going to be called The Cosmic Poet or Cosmic Poetry. And
Cosmic Poet, I like that.
And it'll be with Douglas Newsom, my brother. And what you'll want to do is if you want to get on the show, post something to Authors Inkwell, and you can get it. You can get there by going to Blogging Service, clicking on the link, or just type in authorsinkwell.com, and it'll take you there as well. And post some poetry, whatever you think's good. If you have friends and or know authors or people that write poetry, encourage them. We'd like to see some good poetry up there, and maybe you'll get on the show with Doug. He might just bring on a whole cacophony of
cacophony.
Yeah, there you go. Of poets from the Authors Inkwell. So enjoy, have fun with it. We'd love to read what you're writing. And remember, anything you write can and will be used against you on that radio show.
And we promise you, Dr. Fred Bell will not be on this show. He's going to kill me if he hears that one.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, he may not be on the show, but
we'll definitely hear him.
He might be on your hour if you don't stay on time.
But he, you know, it's funny. Dr. Bell writes some extremely phenomenal poetry.
Yes, he's quite.
I mean, I've even in his music. So he's a pretty incredible, creative
genius.
Soul. Yeah.
Well, he might be on the show then, huh?
Yeah,
absolutely. He's got to be on every show sooner or later.
You can't be prejudiced against him because he's a doctor.
That's right.
That's right.
Soon the Don's lineup would be the Dr. Bell show. The Dr. Bell show. So what's on at 8?
This is the Dr. Bell blogging show.
We're giving you a little razz, Dr. Bell, because we love you.
Hi, Dr. Bell.
If we can't do it while you're not here, when can we do it?
Dr. Bell, I usually love you, but I had a moment of regression today when I found out we were going on an hour late because your show went over. So,
oh, my God. We're talking about a Huh? A major partner.
Well, you know what? We need to give each other chances to forgive. And, you know.
Exactly. Well, we're going to be back, aren't we, Wynn? Now at our regular time slot.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, we...
Told me that last week, Todd.
So,
yeah, but I'll even tell my listeners, we're going to be moving back to 6 p.m. Pacific on Saturdays, the Don and Wynn Show, with interviewing some wonderful guests that Wynn will be bringing on. And we're just glad to be back, and we'll be back to our regular time slot. And thank you for listening.
Hey, by the way, this poetic show might have some new music to air once in a blue moon, too, for all those new artists out there. This is a creative show and flow. So bring your works. We're glad to air them.
I think that it's going to be a great show, and very inspiring.
Yes,
I would agree. Well, you know, one thing.
I bet it becomes one of the more popular shows.
Well, if it doesn't, I'm going to have your bacon.
It was your idea.
My idea?
For all the people that are out there, we're just going to reinforce it that it was your idea.
Yes.
That's right.
Of course, if it was a success, you know, well.
It's his idea.
You can forget me. Okay.
Then you'll want to call it the Wynn and Doug Show.
Right.
He keeps trying to change the name of our show, folks, to the Wynn and Don Show.
Well, we're going to have the... hey, listen, on the hour before, I said, I quit, and I said, just have the Don and Doug Show.
The Don and Doug Show.
No, that's the Barking Boys.
The Barking Boys?
I'm not sure. Are we having Barking Boys?
Hey, listen.
No Barking Boys.
Don, can you get a phone call?
I can get a phone call.
Why don't we try it? We've never done it. Maybe nobody will call if we ask.
Okay, I bet you in the next 30 seconds nobody calls.
What's the number somebody has to call?
What do I win?
All right, folks, if you want to call 888-268-4313. It's toll-free, and it's good throughout most of the world, actually. So you can reach us on that number unless you can't. And if you can't, then 530-876-3222. And if you want to give us a call right now before we come off the air, you're more than welcome. If we don't get a call in the next 60 seconds, we're going to blow this joint.
Then we know nobody's listening to us.
That's right.
Or they're shy.
Or they're very shy. Or your tear or your poetry's just done.
It's tough to follow that.
So... here is
well, I know we got listeners because there's a ton of them that I'm seeing right now on the streams. Of course, they're just being shy.
Here is...
get to speak to two hosts.
Wait a second.
Yeah, you get to speak to three hosts, actually.
Three hosts.
Don't worry. We'll just, you know, do a little dance.
We won't laugh.
Sing a little song.
Here's my poem called The Telephone Rings. You ready?
All right. Fire.
Sometimes I think of someone I care deeply about, and my thoughts turn into a feeling... as if I'm almost physically present with them. I wonder if they can feel me wherever they are. Suddenly, the phone rings, and it's them.
Well, that's the call.
You know,
Hold on.
It's them. There we go.
PBS Radio, hello? You want to talk to us on the air?
Maybe it's your mother. Don.
Do you want to be on
hello?
With us?
Don is probably busy pulling switches, trying to figure out how to get that
to
call
on
the air.
Okay. Who's this?
Don, are you there? Is anyone there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Who's this, please?
Are you there, Don?
I'm always here for you, Wynn.
Okay.
Oh, rain or snow.
Okay.
So who's on the phone?
We don't know. We don't know.
What can I help you with?
Probably one of the guys who monitors your site to see if you're doing any...
Hey, I got an interesting poem for you, Wynn. It's called The Swingers Affair.
What's this called?
Swingers Affair.
This isn't from True Life Experience.
Oh, you just got to hear it to know. You decide.
Go ahead.
Okay.
A vacant place where dust is dust.
Okay,
regret
you.
Dwells in lust. And two by two they anchor to the shore. The hopeful all lay low and wait, showing love, not faith. with thoughts of each in amorous accord. The sunlight wanes and aft and on, the storm before the calm. The a.m. hour chimes in the night's decor. No expense is spared this eve delight, the clandestine plan to be. Flesh on flesh will welcome me amore. Strike up the tunes and melodies, the gravitous host's affair. At 2 a.m. I'll knock upon the door. The candied treat and wine are served, the able mind. Woo!
What was that?
That was called an introduction.
that was called getting somebody on the air with us.
We're on the air.
We're on the air.
There we go. I knew somebody would call in.
Don, that doesn't sound like your mother.
That it doesn't? Mom, that was Wynn. That was Wynn.
Maybe in another lifetime, eh?
Hi, who are we talking to?
It's Perry from Edmonton.
Perry from where?
Edmonton, Canada.
Edmonton.
Oh, you know, all right.
You're new to the Canadians.
You know what? Cindy just called, and she was too shy to get on the air with us because she heard too much laughter, and she got frightened. So we're glad you joined us, Perry.
Right.
Now, Perry.
How's things down in paradise there? Is it beautiful out there?
It's just Perry here.
Oh, it's
sweet.
It is beautiful.
We love it.
You guys like skiing?
Oh, second favorite sport.
Is that right? Well, you should come up here. There's tons of snow coming down.
Really? You know, I love. There's been snow here too. I love it. I haven't seen snow in 15 years.
Houston. That's true. Remember, you wanted us to go to Vail on vacation 5 years ago.
Right,
went up
right,
there and stormed the entire time. We couldn't get on the mountain. That was
a
rumor.
That was a blizzard.
What is your brother's name again?
His name's Doug. Just think, Donald Duck. And then, go from there.
Doug, where do you like to go skiing?
Whistler, Blackcomb.
Whistler.
Oh, yeah.
What a beautiful place.
Oh, there are probably no finer places to ski unless you want to maybe go to Saalbach in Austria.
Oh, yeah, it's a top-notch facility.
Yeah.
Harry, are you a poet?
I'm a poet, and I actually got a poem. Can I read it?
We want to hear it.
Guys, be serious.
Sweet. Okay, here we go. It's called The Silver Cord.
All right.
All right, I had this published in The Harvest Season. And it goes, as Mother Earth changes, consciousness rises above. A higher place in our mind, there is absolute love. Illusions begin to fade with a new vision to see. A time from our past, a long-lost mystery. When we listen for truth, truth is unveiled. Brotherhood of man speaks to many, yet many have failed. To hear the message within, a connection must be made. For the silver cord lies dormant until we are no longer afraid. Replace fear with love, and you will begin to see. The light will shine on you, and you will be set free.
Wow,
Harry,
very good.
Excellent.
Excellent. You got to list that on Authors Inkwell.
Have you posted that yet?
Don't worry, we won't steal it from you.
Oh, go to authorsinkwell.com. It'll take you to the posting page. You got to post that up for others to read. That's fantastic.
I'll read that again on Thursday.
I entered a poetry contest years ago, and I won.
Oh, Harry, congratulations.
Harry, do you write a lot of poems?
I've written several. I haven't lately. They just come to me when I'm inspired, that moment. Wynn was speaking there.
Store them up and go on Doug's show.
Yes.
You're not only a good writer, you're a good reader.
Yeah, and that's not always easy to find. Not only a good writer, but someone who can express the words.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially spiritual poem. I love that.
Yeah, well, they came from the soul. It was something that I wasn't even thinking about. It just kind of flows into you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. So listen, Perry, can you say A?
Hey, when are you guys going to come down here, eh?
I love to hear Canadians say, hey.
I can't wait to come down to paradise there someday and visit you guys.
Oh, you're going to love it. Paradise is paradise.
Well, we're much friendlier on the air than we are in person.
Yeah, well, you guys have a good night. We'll talk with you later.
Perry, kindly. Thank you, Pauline.
Hey, Perry, before you hang up,
yeah,
have you listened to us before?
I'm a groupie.
You are.
I talk. I'm always on the shows. I'm always calling in. I'm always with you guys.
I love you, Perry.
All right. Yeah. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thanks for calling tonight.
Okay, now that is a quality listener.
That's right.
Perry, we
now
love you.
Now we know
we
have
we
quality
thank
listeners.
You.
We
and
have,
writers.
We have your mother and we have Perry.
And
we
my
have
mother, you, by the way, just so you know, not only is my mother listening, my father is too, so let's bring him into the mix.
What's your father's name?
My father's name is, well,
short.
He goes by Big Dick, but his real name's Richard, but he likes to be called Big Dick, and I have no idea why.
It's hard to hear.
My mother finds it humorous.
Now this is a spiritual show now.
Oh, so, that's right. That's right. See.
Well. You know what? We also have another quality listener, I'm sure. We have Karen.
Karen, we love Karen.
And we might have Isabel, if Isabel is still up late. So let's say hello to Isabel. I know she would enjoy hearing her name. And she's
what a beautiful name.
Oh, Isabel could be a guest on our show for the entire hour, and no one would get bored. Okay? Isabel is one of those crystal kids.
Ah.
It's just like when she talks... It's like
E.F. Hutton listens.
The heavens.
Do you know, I got to tell everybody this. When I was growing up, the greatest thing in the world was to be around my twin brother when we were sitting. And we were young. Like, what would you say, Don? 12 to 15 years old or 8 to 15 years, 9 to 15. My brother would make the family laugh so hard. Now, imagine, like, everybody thinks that they laughed really hard. But imagine laughing so hard that you literally are pinching both of your sides as hard as you can because your gut hurts so much and you cannot stop and he will not let you stop. And then it rolls on for 30 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That is painful. I mean, I can remember painful. I laughed so hard, so profusely.
Oh, we had a great family. I mean, our father and mother believed in very, very rich humor, dry humor, witty humor, slapstick. I mean, and my dad, he was the king.
Mm-hmm.
And
whatever happened to all that humor, Don?
work.
So
I'm a slave to my creation.
You know what? Shall we do our calling in the light ritual?
Absolutely, Doug. I'm happy to have you with us on this. This is
Doug,
a first for all of us.
For joining
been a pleasure. Been a pleasure.
And, you know, while we're calling in the light, let's send it especially to your dad.
Yes.
Because I know he's going through some health things.
Yes, he is.
And so let's just send
he can use all the energy we can give him.
Indeed.
I forgot how to call in the light after all this show. Jeez. Let me see. Anything you want to say, Doug, before we do this? No? Okay. Father, Mother, God. We ask just now for the presence of the light to surround and protect Don, Doug, and myself and everyone who's listening, and that any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and dispersed for the highest good of all concerned. Each of us just now, if you choose to, is volunteering to anchor the energy that's emanating from the Hunabku, or the center of the galaxy, radiating through the galaxy, through each of us, hitting us at the top of our heads, going through our bodies, and into the center of the earth. Each of us is part of all of creation, and we can feel it wherever we are. And we can experience that we've had a moment of laughter and reading poems and joy. And we all joined to share this hour together. And we send this light to our entire planet. We send it to Washington, D.C. We send it to those who need it, that have self-serving purposes, that they might pick it up and change and grow, if that's their choice. We send it to those people that are suffering, that they might feel the fringes of it. And we just ask that we can have enough people on this planet holding this light energy so that we can reprogram the collective and have a new paradigm. thank each and every one of you for joining us. I thank Don for being the founder of Blogin and my co-host on the Don and Wynn Show. I thank Don's brother, Doug, who's now working full-time on Blogin, or pretty full-time, and for sharing his poetry and for his new poetry show. And we particularly send all this light energy to Don's father and mother, both, who are beautiful. And I know they're listening. So, anything you want to add, Don?
Wynn, it's an honor to have you as a co-host and a friend. And thank you. Thank you. Deeply.
Yeah, Wynn, you always move us with your soft words and your soft touch.
Well, I'm glad I didn't quit before, huh?
You can't quit.
Don't you realize we would have just...
You can't quit until we pay you.
Yeah, that's right. We would have had to come and get you. We would have hog-tied you, buddy. We came from Houston.
I'll double your salary.
So, nothing from nothing leaves nothing.
You can't escape the one.
Next Saturday at 6 o'clock.
Next Saturday, 6.
6 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Back to our normal time. And back to having Don coming on and apologizing for something or another.
That's right.
We look forward to his new creative apology.
New creative.
Next week. And God bless you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
God bless you all.
God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in. We will have Liz Miller with Otherwhere coming up here in about 5 minutes. We'll have her program running and her interview with Henry. And, again, thank you for the time, and we wish you all the very best. You have been listening to BBS Radio, a bloginservice.com production and a Service to Others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.